Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I am Jeff Gamet, your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as usual, it's just an awesome group of people that I get to hang out with. So I am incredibly lucky to be here today with all of you. Rich, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Awesome. And I didn't get a chance in the pre-show to ask you to show me the rest of your t-shirt, because I can see Szechuan. Oh,
it's just a Rick and Morty t-shirt.
Oh, Szechuan, Szechuan dipping sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. When McDonald's actually started making Szechuan dipping sauce as part of a Rick and Morty promotion, there were lines outside the McDonald's went like down the block and around, people just wanting to buy something to get the sauce.
I didn't know they'd done that.
They did that. Yeah.
They didn't do that over here, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be such an American thing to do. Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it popular here? I know I watch it, but I don't talk to anyone about it, actually.
I know of it because I'm a geek. So I know of it because of that. But I'm not necessarily think it's a wider thing, not like, I'm saying...
It's a geek. It's a geek thing. Guy. I know.
Yeah,
I know like, some
not
people.
Not like Family Guy Simpsons.
Yeah. I know some people, but all of them are developers. By the way, all of them are male. I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but...
You know, yeah, now that you mention it.
It is a geek thing. I think it is a geek thing.
Huh. I'm not sure if I know any women that watch Rick and Morty.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there are some.
There have to be. But I can't name anyone I know that does.
Hmm. No, me either.
Just interesting.
That is interesting. Patrice, how are you today?
I'm doing okay, I think. As I mentioned in the pre-show, it's been a bit of a mental week, like just nonstop fires everywhere, and you're just like running from one thing to the next. But I somehow made it to today, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to my business trip next week. So
awesome.
It's gonna be fun.
Awesome.
Gonna meet up with a lot of really interesting people from like all around the world. Have some people from the US coming in, so that's gonna be fun. Yeah,
cool.
It's gonna be cool.
Well, yeah. I hope you have an amazing time.
I will. The only downside is the really nice. Like, I think we took a page out of the Colorado book. It was really nice and warm here last two weeks, three weeks. And it's gonna snow Saturday.
That's and
it's gonna be cold the next
well.
Week. So
we've had that here today. It snowed this morning. Did you get it up where you are as well, Rich?
It's snowing right now.
Is it wow. isn't currently here, but that's not me to say it's going. It's dumped snowed on and off all day. It's been very weird. Because last week again, like you said, I was wondering about getting the shorts out.
Yeah, exactly. No. I had packed up my like winter coat and everything, and then I checked the weather report. I'm like, okay, I probably still need it. I don't know. You might not relate to that, but like going to like a really nice business trip, like to the headquarters and like fancy events or whatever. I was thinking, like I was checking the weather report and just thinking, okay, like do I need different clothes? Like do I student like a women's thing? Do I need to buy more clothes? And I'm thinking, do I need a new coat? Like and because the one I usually wear in the summer, like a standard. Like whatever jacket, I'm like, should I buy something nicer for that trip? And then I looked at it, and it's like, nah, it's gonna be cold, so my really nice winter coat is gonna do it. So.
Awesome, yeah. Here you don't put away clothes based on season. It's I have access.
Every day is a season.
Right. Yeah, I have access to winter clothes and summer clothes all year long. Mm-hmm. And there's a very high likelihood that I will be using all of that clothes throughout the year.
That's crazy. Yeah, usually here you can pack them away, like around May, you can usually pack them away when it gets really hot and humid.
Yeah, similar in the UK.
I just can't imagine.
Although Yorkshire can be a little bit different from the rest of the world.
Well, in the UK, it just rains all day, right? All you need is an umbrella.
No, I was getting to the point where I didn't need to wear coats, and that's great. I mean, I've got a jacket on tonight. I've got a warm jumper on tonight, but it was lovely.
Yeah, it was.
Well, speaking of rain and lovely weather, Ian, how are you?
I am great. I'm fine week. Been busy doing stuff with Google Cloud Platform with a customer. It's been interesting, something different. I'm still backing stuff up and things, but it's just in there rather than Azure and AWS I seem to do a lot of. So that's been a change for the week. So that was all right. That's a new little bits and bobs of new things. So I like that sort of stuff. So that's great. Tomorrow looks like a nice, I won't say it, otherwise it won't be a quiet day. It's going to be a busy day full of all sorts of broken things, but I'm hoping it's going to be a nice steady Friday, which is what I'm looking forward to. And then the weekend, then I've got some painting to do. But otherwise, yeah, the world's reasonably fine.
Yeah, excellent. That's as it
better
should
for seeing
be.
You lot. I'm weirdly enough better for seeing you. I was feeling a bit crap, and now I'm better for seeing you lot. So that's a good thing.
It is, and so what I'm hearing is, Rich, send your therapy bill to Ian for your time. Yeah. All right.
By the way, I just read something about the UK. Someone was complaining about the weather, and they said, it feels like in this country, the weather is controlled by a rogue AI. Just pushing buttons, like snow, sun, snow.
No, the toddler.
Yeah.
The toddler with a weather machine.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that explains so much.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a really good guy.
Or stoned. I mean, you could be someone someone particularly stoned. And, yeah, man, let's have that one. Because all stoned people speak like a hippie, obviously.
Yeah, that sounded like the absolutely perfect impression of a stoned British person.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, probably I don't know speaking what stoned experience. British people talk like at all.
Yeah, and I have no idea what stoned Colorado people talk like.
No.
No, never met one.
I don't even know what being stoned is.
Are there non-stoned Colorado people?
Generally, I am not stoned.
Well, maybe you don't know.
To the best of my knowledge, I am not stoned.
Yet.
In this moment. Yeah.
I think if you're not aware if you're stoned, you're either doing it very wrong or very, very right.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Like, it might just be the entire state. It's just
It's very possible that when you cross the state line into Colorado, that you just like build up that gradual buzz that leads into being stoned, and there's just this low level state of stoned throughout Colorado constantly, and you just don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a Colorado state of mind, like New York state of mind. There's a Colorado state of mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's very much a Colorado state of mind, and it's typically altered.
see, I told you.
Yeah.
Oh crap! I'm stoned. Well, okay. Now I know. All right. So, who has the first story?
Go on, and I think this could be a wind up, but we'll go with this one. Just take a look at this madness, if you will.
Oh my God!
Take a look at this madness, if you will. The it's Dyson's new invention. It's a noise cancelling headphones with a mask that blows filtered air at your face. And I can't work out whether this is a wind up or not. I'll be honest.
I saw someone.
Tomorrow is April Fool's Day. I feel it's a wind up.
I saw someone on Twitter retweeting that with the comment, "Please be an April Fool's joke. Please be an April Fool's joke.
This feels like a wind up."
This article is dated March
30th.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, Volkswagen tried that last year, so you never know.
That's okay. So, wow, just wow.
Yeah. Did you see? I sort of just thought, yeah, you know, I've got to go with that today.
They've been working on this for 6 years, apparently.
What's to work on? it's headphones with a fan in it.
Yeah. If you're thinking this looks absurd, yes.
I mean, they just had to watch one Marvel movie.
Right, or...
oh, yeah, it's like Ant-Man's...
The one Batman movie.
Ant-Man and Star-Lord.
So, yeah, Star-Lord's mask is similar as well, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm just at a loss.
And it's not like a sealed mask. It just blows clean air at your face. You're not breathing it in exclusively. It's just like a fan.
It's like
It's supposed, but there's a HEPA filter on the fan, supposedly. So,
fixes
the same tech they use in the Hoover to
that fixes
make sure your dog hairs don't go around the house. It's the same.
Yeah, but surely unless you're wearing it like a sealed unit,
an N95 mask, it's going to do, as we say in the UK, SFA, Sweet Fanny Adams. I think it's utter. I hope it's an April Fool's.
Well, Razor's mask wasn't an April Fool's, and so
it's an FFP2 filtration standards and community seal. It's got to be a wind up. That's got to be a wind up.
Well,
it just looks too weird for that.
It does. I thought Razor's mask was a joke at first, and it turns it turned out to be a joke, but not the way they intended. Razor's mask, filtration mask thing with the disco lights built in, the rave lights, that was not a joke.
You've got to have RGB, especially if it's a Razor product.
That came out of
have RGB.
That totally must have come RGB. Out of Colorado. There's simply no way.
It's on Dyson. I've just been to Dyson's website, and it's
four. Oh, if it's on the internet, then it must be true, right?
It's got to be true, yeah.
Did their robot Hoover ever come out?
Yeah.
Was it thousands of pounds or something? Oh, they did robot vacuum.
All of their stuff is thousands of pounds. A hairdryer is thousands of pounds. It's a ridiculous amount of money for a hairdryer.
It is. It is very good, but it's not £1,000 good.
The thing is, there's normally with these April Fool's stories, though, there's normally a MacGuffin somewhere that makes you go, yeah, that's bollocks. But this one seems...
Well, the MacGuffin is it just looks ridiculous.
Yes, I suppose it's that. But... Or is it, given the modern, given our new world, given the ubiquity of a mask, is this weird?
Just think about it. Like, if you saw someone walking around, like out and about, walking around in this one, what would you think? You would think that person is completely insane.
Spaceman. Yeah, exactly. But everyone walks around with a set of big cans on their head anyway, and so a mask around their face. What's different? I mean, if they do manage to get the tech so it looks a bit smaller.
All right. I just signed up on the Dyson webpage to be notified when the mask is officially available.
I'm still marveling at Dyson's 500-pound desk lamp.
I'll email you tomorrow going, no, 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 no.
It's the solar cycle morph, and it's 500 pounds, and it's a lamp.
And
it's a lamp. It dims intelligently tracking your local daylight, which feels like it could be something you could set up with like the small Raspberry Pi and like a light. Like maybe you could throw this together for about £8.
You could with one of those, but a couple of decent bulbs and a Watson and an app to do the timings. Yeah, you could do this for for a little bit more, but still next to nothing.
Yeah, not £500.
No, never 500. No. Well, Dyson's always had that problem, hasn't it? It's for people that have too much money again.
I mean, as I said, their stuff is very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
It's never good enough for the price they charge.
And maybe they're vacuums. PS5.
Had them for years.
Yeah.
Can't really call it a Hoover because that's somebody else.
Yeah, I do have a Dyson fan, in my bedroom, and I bought it at a garage sale. So
that's the only way to get them, because they're overpriced and you buy them new.
Yeah,
and they're actually not all that good. Like, the fans aren't that great. They look good. They have some advantages, but if you really want the fan that does something, it's not the best option.
And those hand dryer things now you find in every public convenience, awesome. They're dreadful.
No, the
hand dryer things, I think you put your hands in.
Oh, no, okay. Those are
dreadful. You still end up drying your hands.
I thought you said hair dryers. I was like,
Oh, no, the hair dryers are supposed to be very good. Yeah,
hair dryers are very good, but there are better options for less.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's got to be.
Unless you find one at a garage sale.
Unless you do that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, $30 was a great price to pay for the Dyson fan. And I got more than, I'm still getting more than $30 worth of value out of the fan.
No,
and Patrice, you're right. I could buy a cheaper fan that moves air more efficiently. But it's nice having that Ring fan, knowing that there's no way that my cat's going to be able to stick its tail, whiskers, or paws into the blades.
Mm. That is true. Yeah, that is definitely, I mean, that alone is probably worth $30, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, to not hurt you. Yeah, not hurt the little furry.
Well, even paying full price for the fan is cheaper than one vet visit if that cat sticks their hand in the
blades. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. All right, so Ian, I presume you're planning on buying one of these?
Not remotely.
It would be hilarious.
Not remotely. Isn't
Dyson a British company?
I don't need that.
Isn't Dyson a British company?
It is indeed a British company. Yeah.
They should send you a review unit.
I thought he moved everything offshore. I thought there that was a thing he did.
It became unpopular a year or so ago. I mean, I don't think he did terribly well.
It was a post-Brexit thing.
He did some stupid, things during Brexit, didn't he?
It was like pro-Brexit, and then when it went through, he shut factories down, or something like that, and moved it to the middle of nowhere. Or whatever.
Yeah, he did some things that make people think it was a bit. He shot himself in the foot a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking.
And he did some stuff during COVID.
You should get a review unit, Mike.
Yeah. We'll try and get a review unit of them.
That would be awesome. Send them an email. Like,
send them an email. Do it.
Yeah. Right, Dyson, just send me one of everything.
Why not?
You know, whatever. I'll test it all.
Yeah.
Actually, I might have an in with them. Thinking about it. They use Convo.
Yeah, do it.
Well, there you go. Do it. And
I want to see that.
Patrice, you dropped a story in.
I did. We're probably going to talk for all of like 5 seconds about that, but I found it very peculiar. It's probably a little bit politics and tech, but I found it really interesting. So people might be vaguely aware, if you're outside the US, that in the US there's something called the Defense Production Act that presidents can invoke in, like, usually some kind of crises to get companies to produce whatever is required to solve that crisis. I mean, there was like COVID was used to like produce ventilators and like protective gear and stuff like that. And we thought that was the last we saw of that until today.
Until today.
Because Joe Biden invoked the Defense Production Act for EV batteries. And I found that a little bit weird. EV batteries and clean energy, technically.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? People are starting to get squeaky backsides about the whole, how we're still going to be able to get some of the natural resources we rely on much of Eastern Europe for these days. Yeah. Including Russia, to be fair. And so China, we're starting to get slightly squeaky bummed over that kind of thing now. Yeah. Particularly Europe relies on a lot of... And so I think it's an inevitable circumstance that governments are going to think, well, what can we do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is the most weird...
sort of...
This is a weird way of doing that.
Right.
It is a weird way of doing funding, governmental funding, but... I looked at this and we were talking in the house one evening over dinner about various sort of like things that were going on, and it does strike me, it's another one of those things where we get to the point where all these things, war always breeds improvements in technology, as hateful as it is. And are we now going to see another sort of resurgence in improvements in batteries, another kind of tech, because of, we're forced, our hand is forced.
Yeah, but this isn't what the DPA is for.
This is just a byproduct of it. We're going to throw more money at it.
Yeah, the DPA is so that you can quickly produce stuff that you need now and in the very near future.
Yeah.
And something like this, when you're looking at EV batteries, this is a long-term thing. So you don't see an immediate benefit from the action, which is what you're supposed to get from a DPA.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, the other part is, if it's about like EV batteries, like usually the Defense Production Act is, from my understanding at least, is set for like wars or like other emergencies where you need certain things to support that. But so and ventilators and so on, that's for public health. Mm-hmm. But a car battery is, I mean, but off, like, I mean, yes, I know the US is reliant on the car, but it's a consumer good. Right?
I mean, they wouldn't know what to do if they couldn't drive everywhere.
Yeah, but I mean, so, I mean, the reasoning is they're saying that the crisis is the climate crisis and they need to do something about it and all the wars and all of that. It's still weird.
I think we've also discovered the presidential power that I would abuse.
Like,
if I could make companies make me things, get Tim Cook on the phone now.
More guitars.
I would do that every day. It would just be all I do.
Have the guys from Fender and then the guys from Map on the phone. It would be there, wouldn't it?
Exactly. We'd sort that graphics card shortage out immediately.
Oh, yeah,
right.
True. You know?
True.
Chips, or like, chips. Or like gets more money.
The Mac Studios back order. Let's get the Defense Production Act and
place and have I want one now.
Right.
There's only so many people I can have disappeared. That would be fun for a day. I mean,
for a couple days.
You might have a bigger list than me then. But after that, what are you going to do? Defense Production Act. That's the one.
As I said, it's a very peculiar move. I have no clue what effect it's going to have on the industry. I mean, as far as I know, all companies that are producing batteries and can produce batteries are already producing batteries as fast as they can.
Yeah, so, that's my assumption too.
Who is going to do that? Like, I mean, you need to find companies who are not doing it and force them to do it. Okay.
Well, and if you force if you try and force other companies to do it, that means now you need more raw materials. Mm-hmm. But all the other companies that are already making the batteries are sucking up all the raw materials. So how are you going to produce more batteries?
You force the companies who are producing the raw materials to produce more raw materials? Is that even a thing? Because I think they're also producing as much as they can.
Right. When you look at that article, that they're talking about the fact it's more the raw material is one of the problems. Various things like nickel, lithium, cobalt are all, again, we mine them from the Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
We need those, again, are all key components.
Yeah, but I mean,
in the standard now current EV batteries. Yeah.
But the thing there is, and I mean, for all I sometimes think governments have a place in this, I think this is one of the places where like it makes no sense. Because if there's a shortage somewhere, then there's an incentive for another company to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as long as they can.
If there's room for one in the market, there's room for two. Yeah. The age old, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, as long as there was enough and it was cheap and price was basically at the bottom, that there was like the business wasn't there to do that, let's say in the US or in the UK or something. But now that the prices have gone up and like there's a shortage, that's a prime thing for a company to say, well, I should probably either get into it or expand what I already have.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's like business-wise feasible to do so. So I don't understand what the government even could do here. Like, tell the companies, well, the thing you're already doing, do it. Good job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's one way to say, look at how effective we are. We told people to do this thing and they're doing it.
And they did it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It feels like the kind of thing where if we did it here, it would actually involve like a front bench MP texting a mate and saying, hey, there's £200 million up for grabs to a company that says they can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
So you email me back this afternoon.
A whole minefield of rich people making more money off nothing.
Okay. Well, maybe that's it.
And maybe that's there. Maybe Biden has a few investments out in the EV world and he's going to get his pockets cleaned. Who knows?
Tesla needs more money.
There you go.
Elon's tipped him away.
No, as I said, I just saw this story. I said I didn't have much time to find one, but I thought this was a very peculiar story. This would happen.
And we have talked about it for more than just a couple minutes.
Good. So good enough. Let's move on.
All right. Rich, do you have a story?
I do, sort of. This kind of happened while I wasn't paying attention to the news. But yeah, a new contender has entered. Intel have started showing off desktop GPU cards and laptop graphics chips as well. And they seem to be pretty competitive and have lots of comparable features with NVIDIA products. And I've seen streamers raving about the fact they've got AV1 hardware, video encoding, all kinds of things. When we can't buy NVIDIA cards and struggling to buy AMD cards equally as much, and they're all getting so ludicrously expensive, it's just good to have anyone bring out something good. And this seems to be something credible. It's Intel, for God's sake. You know,
that's sort of incredible, isn't it?
That makes sense. They can do that, right?
Totally.
So, okay.
This is example of what I just talked about.
Mm.
There is a shortage on the market.
Yeah.
NVIDIA and AMD and like all the others cannot produce fast enough. And like,
well, they've always had graphics chips in their technology to make graphics card in their remit. So making them
they always did the low end stuff though. And
yeah,
because like, they never understood why not go higher? Why not?
Because they could sell bazillions those little chips. And the graphics on a chip on the CPUs, they could sell a bazillion of them to Dell and to HP to make the little desktop PCs we find in every workplace, you know. Sure. So they didn't need it, you know. That they could make bazillions out of that.
If they could sell a bazillion and a half, would have been better.
There you go.
Well, I guess now they realize there's that half is there in this.
And
these new chips. So that's always a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
If shortage and scarcity and all that kind of stuff brings more innovation. We like that. I think this is only a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how effective it is because, I mean, I know in certain areas where like graphics cards are heavily used, like in the scientific world, it's basically an NVIDIA game because all the tools are there only for NVIDIA.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the one thing I did wonder is whether they... Yeah.
But if you can't buy them, This is ultimately the problem.
Someone will create the tools.
I would love a great NVIDIA new graphics card in my PC. If you can direct me to where one of those is available for sale, that would be great. And all NVIDIA, they've just released the 3090 Ti, which is not cheap. Or really necessary for most, if not all, people. Like, God, it starts at $1,800. £1,879 for that on NVIDIA's website. Like hell, you are going to see it for sale at that price ever.
Right.
I'm saying that there's a buy now button. What happens if I click that?
There you go.
Click it. Click it. Do it.
I can add it to my basket.
Do it.
Oh, hang on. I'm talking shit. It'd come tomorrow if I did it now.
All right.
Well,
or have they just released it and I, like an idiot, have stumbled in at the right moment?
Right,
and all around the world,
they're going to sell it for three times the cost.
Yeah. If I had 1800 quid to just randomly drop on something, I would, but no, I should take it out of the basket because someone might want that. I don't know. So you can buy those. But anyway, Intel have got new graphics cards called Arc. Nice. And they might be good. They might be good. Who knows? Well, we'll see. They seem pretty good so far.
What did Intel release about that?
I don't know. I'm just catching up with it.
It's your story.
Right. So the least powerful one is the Arc 3 are out, and that's a GPU for laptops. But it has DirectX 12 support, ray tracing hardware. It looks pretty good.
What is the top of the line called? Arc Reactor?
Arc 7.
They missed the beat. They should have called it an Arc Reactor.
They should have. Oh, they missed out.
Marvel probably might have something to say about that.
All right, so this is the mobile Intel can graphics buy them. They've announced. Their top chip has 16 gigs of GDDR6 memory. It looks quite a bit of a beast. 150 watts of power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that, on a laptop, mobile chip. You'll have to be plugged in for that one.
You'll have to be plugged in, yep.
Or only do something that takes about 8 minutes.
Yeah, I was thinking... Without a constant power supply to a laptop, you'd boot up, and by the time you finish booting up, your battery would be dead.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm. But it would be a beautiful boot up. And then you're
going to end up that weird Apple graph with them bragging about you, going, look, see, less power. Like, then right. What, Tim? Then what? Something else. We know, but what? Another thing. No, Tim.
It does say limited edition. So...
Aren't you gonna make two?
Yeah, I think or does that give them an easy out when they can't get enough raw materials to make more?
Possibly.
Probably, yeah.
This is what we need a DPA for.
Right.
Graphics
game. It really is. This is it. And get some PlayStations in. Come on, everybody. This is my presidency.
It won't
be the worst one in living memory.
No.
There you go.
That would be funny. Like the entire world would produce guitars, PlayStations, graphics cards,
and more Mac Studios.
No TVs. Like no food. Nothing. Like just that.
Yeah.
What more do we need?
Yeah, it's true.
So.
Yeah.
All right. The CEO of KFC is, I'm going to need his number.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So I have a story, and mine is about how Amazon and Google became the backers for an AstroTurf group that was claiming to be lobbying for small businesses, when in fact it was actually pushing for legislation in the United States that protected companies like Amazon and Google. And it gets better, because not only were they the big backers for this lobbying group, it turns out a lot of companies that were listed as members of the group had never even heard of it. So they were just adding small businesses to the list of supporters without actually apparently getting these companies to sign up on their own.
They just opened the yellow pages and just paged through. They're like, let's pick some on every side. Like,
right.
There's a guy, a blacksmith here that's been added to the thing. He says, tech's not really my forte, which you understand. Amazon Fires are his forte, and that's perfectly fine. But
yep, and and Square was on the list of big sponsors. And so when CNBC reached out to them and said, so tell us about your involvement with this group, and the representatives at Square, now Block, said, we don't know what you're talking about. And so then when CNBC went back to the organization and said, hey, this is what Square told us, And the response was to pull Square's logo off the website and say, oh, we just hadn't updated the site.
All right.
Yeah. So it's a campaign for accountability is the, or no, that's not it. Is it? Oh, Connected Commerce Council is the group.
Yeah.
And it's linked with, oh no. And then it was Campaign for Accountability is the organization that's calling them out as a AstroTurf lobbying organization.
Somehow those names are always funny. This reminds me of, what was the Apple Pay competitor? Like Merchant Something Exchange?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it just reminded me of that. I'm like, wow, the names are very similar. Mm-hmm. Merchants Customer Exchange, probably MCE. I don't know.
Oh, now it's going to bug me not remembering that. I wrote a lot of articles about that. I remember that.
The QR code solution.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was...
Yeah, it's probably like someone probably just sent an email to, I don't know, info@square.com. And then said, oh, yeah, they're backing us. Like, right. we didn't get any response that they don't back us, so they back us. It's like, dear Square, please respond if you don't want to back our cause.
Hey, we didn't get a response. They're backing our cause. Put it on the website. Yeah. So now, of course, there are some small businesses that legitimately signed up to be part of this group, and you don't have to pay to be part of the organization.
No, because Amazon and Google are paying
already. Right. Yeah. They're like the only companies paying. Mm-hmm. And some of these small businesses that have signed up they're signing up because they think that what Amazon and Google are pushing is legitimately going to help them, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. But the big thing is this is about giving the big players like Amazon and Google protections from anti-competition regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's no matter what, it's always going to benefit the big guys.
It's going to benefit
otherwise
them more
they wouldn't pay for
benefit, it. It'll benefit that Joe in the street. The things that if I can't get access to my free Gmail account and other stuff, it's bigger than that. It's much bigger than that.
They wouldn't pay for it if it wasn't benefiting them.
Exactly that.
Right. Yeah. And it looks like the whole purpose of this organization is to benefit Amazon and Google. Apparently Facebook was involved at one point, but they stopped sponsoring the group and chose not to comment for CNBC's article. So, yeah. Yeah. Remember when Google used to have on the wall in their headquarters the sign that said, don't be evil?
Mm.
And they took that off the wall at one point.
You know what?
And here we are.
Mm-hmm. I'd just put an asterisk after it.
That would have been probably less expensive.
Been hilarious.
Hey, this show and all the others is sponsored by TSO Hosts, which is pretty awesome because they're a great company. And they are being wonderfully generous by giving us the bandwidth we need to stream shows live every week, and and they also give us the hosting we need so that there's a place for all the files so that you can watch or listen at your leisure. And without their incredibly generous help, we wouldn't be here, because it would just be way too expensive for us to make this all happen. So they are completely awesome for helping us out like that. What they're asking of us is that we give them a little bit of love on social media. So head over to your favorite social media app and let them know that you appreciate that they are here supporting the British Tech Network. If you do need domain name purchases or you need hosting, hey, they've got your back for that too. Use the discount code BTN20 to get a discount on the services. And hey, thank you for TSO Host for being our sponsor. Also, Iman Max sponsors us. And that's a place to take your Apple gear when you need to get it fixed and you want it done in a competent and environmentally responsible way. They will figure out what's really wrong with your device and fix that component instead of just like pitching your logic board and popping a new one in, which means there's less waste going into landfills, which is pretty cool. They have used Apple gear to sell you. They can do Apple leases. They can do data recovery, and they have cool swag to sell you too. So head over to Iman Max to get all of your Apple gear fixed. Mention you're a BTN fan, and they will give you a discount on whatever it is that you need from them, which is pretty awesome. So thank you to Iman Max for being our sponsor as well. Patrice, where can people find our chat?
Well, that's super easy. If you are listening to this live, which you can every Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And also we have the Mac show every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time. Then you can head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to talk to us live and like get all the links and everything. But let's see, let's say you are listening to this after the fact in your favorite podcast player, whatever that is, or on the website, which is totally fine because that is kind of how podcasts work. We all do that for a lot of podcasts. Then you can still get like to the chat and to everything that we talked about, all the links, the cool things that are coming up, all of that. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, select the 31st of March, 2022, and then you will find everything we talked about.
Awesome. Thank you. And that means it is time for cool things. So, Rich, what do you have for us this week?
Oh, I have, hang on, sorry, I've just lost it. Right, here we go. So, I'm so disorganized and clicking links right, left, and center. There we go.
This You've is been busy the buying A4. Cards.
Well, that's it. And I'm just a kind of amazed that you can buy them.
When did he's just happen? Researching the Defense Production Act. Oh, like how he can get that.
How much? That's about what the original one was new.
I don't remember how much they used to be. I didn't have an A500. This is the A500 mini thing, the Amiga. We had a 600. That's when I got into the Amiga, and then we got a 1200. I think the Christmas after. And then that one ended up in my
It says
bedroom.
This one emulates awesome. The 600 and 1200 as well.
Yeah. I mean, well, the good thing is about it, you can kind of just connect your own USB thing and add your own games that you might find in various places around the world, how we played the Amiga in the first place as well. Actually, every game, everybody had every game of, you know, release dates, game cost, what was that? Don't know. They were just, every game was everywhere. I remember we had just stacks and stacks of 3.5-inch floppies. Of hundreds of pirated games. Just, it was amazing.
That's how it worked back then.
It was. Mm. It was incredible. And the stuff we had for copying stuff. But anyway, now you don't have to do that. You can just get the A500 Mini and hook it up to your HDTV and you're away. What games does it have? Alien Breed 3D, Alien Breed Specialist. I didn't like Alien Breed much for the need to be too anyway. Another World, Arcade Pool, All Terrain Racing, Battle Chess, Cadaver, California Games, The Chaos Engine, Dragon's Breath, F-16 Combat Pilot, Kickoff 2, The Lost Patrol, Paranoid 90, Pinball Dreams was amazing. A Project Pinball Deck Dreams, Special Edition,
Spider. They've got Speedball. That's a good one.
Yeah, Worms is the Director's Cut.
Duel is a good
one. So many.
F-16 Combat Pilot was all right.
And of course you can add your own, and it comes with a Amiga style controller. That's like a CD32 style controller. I don't know that they ever sold that as a separate thing, did they?
I may have found that. Something for my birthday. Thank you.
Right, no problem.
I need suggestions for my birthday. I can send this to the good lady here indoors and she'll go, what rubbish do you want now? But nevertheless, that could be a good thing. That was my first computer.
It's available in the United States as well through Amazon, $139.99.
Yeah, that was my first
computer.
And
it says it gets released on May 31st, 2022. So available for pre-order.
For you guys. We get it 8th of April.
I need to go back further for my first car. I don't think anyone will do a Dragon 32 Mini.
You think they would, wouldn't you?
No.
Welsh computing at its finest.
Yeah. Yeah. That it peaked too soon, didn't it, Jeff?
For Welsh computing at its finest.
Yeah. And we move from the Dragon 32.
Is that with goats and stuff? Like, is that how that works?
No.
Yeah, goats and singing.
Sheep.
And coal.
Okay, sheep.
And other things. Yeah.
Sheep and coal.
Sheep and coal. Okay.
All right. It's good to know how computers in other countries work.
Yeah.
There used to be hundreds here, Jeff. Literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of computers that were completely incompatible with each other. And we were just happy away with ourselves. And then
that's just
it all went away.
And then the internet and then everything went downhill. Right?
Yeah. We invented all these computers.
So it's all Tim Berners-Lee's fault.
Home computers were invented here in the 80s with the Spectrum, the Amiga and all of those things. And the 80s and 90s, the Atari and all that, they all kind of spawned their ways from over here.
Amstrad, the BBC.
Yeah, exactly.
God, that BBC was just such an amazing machine. Much nostalgia.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Patrice, what do you have for us?
I have something I don't think anybody has. I don't know. Maybe someone has nostalgia for. I'm going through, like, after finishing the last three books of the Expanse series, I started at the beginning because I love the series. I love the show. And I decided, I mean, despite some people saying, it's just like, you know, the story. So, like, it's not worth listening to it. I wanted to do it, and it's amazing. Like, this, the one I picked, you will probably hear the other ones in the future. Like, I'm in on book 2 or 3 right now. I don't remember even. I think it's 2. It's just a very, very well told story. And this is how it started. It's called Leviathan Wakes, which, like, there's a parallelism to Leviathan Falls, which is the end. Mm-hmm. And so, like, probably not an accident. but it's like, I mean, as I said, if you have seen the first season of the show, it's mostly that story. But I say mostly because there are obviously things that they didn't tell in the TV show. Like, a TV show is not a book. And there are other things and extras, and, like, things are told differently. And sometimes you get inside perspective from people. Like actually, you do get a lot of inside perspective from people because they're switching, like, positions, and you hear what people are thinking and stuff like that, which in a TV show harder to do. So, like, the whole story with Miller and so on. It's just a really, really, really good book, and it's long, so, which is also a big plus. Like, you get something for your money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I just added that to my to read list on Goodreads.
It's a really good book, and I'm really like when I started those books, I stopped basically listening to podcasts. I wanted to finish the book first before I go back to podcasts. So that's how good they are. And I mean, as I said, it's a long book. I think there's like 12 or 16 hours or something. So takes a while.
It's a really great book, and you know, some book series, you need to read a couple books before it, like, mm-hmm. really takes off.
Mm,
but not with The Expanse. The book one, page one, you're running with it. Mm-hmm. And
book. There's no introduction of the characters, anything like that. Yeah, no, you get thrown into deep, and they kind of introduce the characters along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or more or less, like, introducing is like not even like there, like, some things are dropped because they're relevant at that moment. So,
yeah, it's basically, you know, that you have a new character because the name that's next to the quotes for who's saying something is that person. And now you know this new person.
Oh, there's a new person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as I said, like, it's not that they go and say, oh, like, I don't know, Holden grew up here and there and whatever. No, like, it's not like, it's not how it starts. They don't introduce the characters. The characters are there and they're acting. And over time, you learn a little bit about more about them. As I said, it's just very well done. Like, my favorite character still is Bobby Draper. And like, the description of her in the book, like, is awesome. Like, how, like, it, like, the actress is... She's tall-ish, but at least, like, apparently, like, based on descriptions, like, the Bobby Draper in the book is, like, I mean, massive. Like, doesn't fit in a chair, basically. She's a machine.
Yeah.
Basically.
Bobby's my favorite character, too.
Yeah. It's like, my laptop is named after her, so.
Nice.
Yeah. That's it. Like, it's, like, stuff like that. Like, you don't get in the shows. But, I mean, obviously, like, having seen the shows, all the characters... When I'm imagining them, I'm seeing the actors because that's my micro, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. That's it. It's just really good.
And I'm with you. The Expanse series is great, and book one is a great kickoff into the whole series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it did not hurt that I knew roughly what was happening. Actually, it made it in a lot of places probably even more enjoyable because I know where it's going and I can appreciate the details that maybe when you read it the first time you wouldn't have gotten because like you didn't know where that fits in. And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that plays off like three books later.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, you know, when you read it the first time and you get three books later and the thing happens, there's that little fun little thrill that comes along with realizing, holy crap, that thing they did way back here. It's coming back around now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. There is. Yeah. It's just really, really good book.
Awesome.
A good series, I should say.
Yep. I am so with you on that. Okay, Ian, what do you have?
I have just a random thing from a conversation with the people I was working with this week. I was reminded of this. It's an RFC for the 12 Networking Truths. Some of you may have seen it before. It's been around forever. But a conversation led to this, and it's just funny, and it's worth bringing back up again so people know about it still. Such as Section 7, it is always something. As one of the 12 networking truths. And 7A, good, fast, cheap, pick any two. You see, it's...
Yeah. Number one, it has to work.
Yeah. 8, it is more complicated than you think. 10, one size never fits all.
Uh-huh.
And and also number 3, with sufficient thrust, pigs can fly just fine. However, it's not necessarily a good idea. It's hard to be sure where they're going to land. And it could be dangerous if you're sitting under them when they fly overhead. So it's just one of those silly things that when it came up, they recorded it. And it was worth sharing again to prove that IT stuffy people aren't all boring. And we do have some funny things and some silly. And the guy who writes this is from the Internet Order of Old Farts. It's at the very bottom. There's a whole load of that. There is a whole load of humorous RFCs of various things. The other one's the Avian Network Protocol. And it was homing pigeons.
Number 5, it's always possible to agglutinate multiple separate problems into a single complex interdependent solution. In most cases, this is a bad idea.
That is awesome.
Yes, so true. This is awesome. I have to share that.
Like I said, it's geekily silly. It's been around for a very, very long time.
Yeah, 1996, for April 1st, 1996.
Yeah, the other one was...
Yeah, there are some really funny RFCs. Like, there is an RFC for, like, TCP over avian carriers. So
that
like
is
pigeons.
What I've just shared.
One of the people that was involved in writing... TCP over avian carriers.
It's a super interesting thing to think about. Like, if from like a purely, practically not relevant, But to not think about it, like if you had to build a network over that, like how would you do that? And specifying it is so funny.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've just put the link in for that as well.
Mm. Well, there are a couple like that. Like,
yeah, there's a whole host of different, and there was something to do with startup. Twas the night before start. Oh, there's a few out there that prove us IT people are very silly, really.
Also show that people probably either were stoned, drunk, or some.
All of the above. We circled nicely back to the beginning. Yeah. What could be better?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, those are great. Oh, right. I have to do a cool thing too. All right. So my cool thing is the Wyze solar panel, and that's WYZE. I've been using some Wyze cameras for remote monitoring of my place when I'm out and about. And I have one of their outdoor cameras, and there's enough traffic that, you know, like foot traffic and car traffic that goes by that the battery that should last for months and months and months in that camera, I'm lucky to get a month out of it. So I decided it was time to put a solar panel on it. And it's just a micro USB connector for the charger. So I found a bunch of different options out there, but ended up getting the one that Wyze makes because it had the same specs, but it's only $20. So even if you need something that can do, what is it? It's rated for 2.5 watts, 5 volts DC, and has a 13-foot cable on it already. There you go. It's inexpensive, and mine has been working very reliably. It's actually working better than I expected because we've had several days of like totally overcast, which is rare for us, and it was still doing much better than I expected for charging.
Nice.
Yeah. I was expecting at best it would be able to hold its own for the charge level for those 2 or 3 days. But now the battery charge was showing a steady increase. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good enough, right?
To other places.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I plugged it in, my battery in the camera was at like 30%, and it took about a week of usage, but the solar panel got it up to 100%. And that was even with overcast days.
Yeah. I mean, that's good enough. Like it doesn't have to fix it right away. I mean, if it doesn't drain anymore, it's already more than enough.
Right. Yeah. It's keep it working. That's what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. And it's doing that really well. And it's surprisingly inexpensive. And it just occurred to me, I don't know how easily available Wyze products are outside the United States. Well, you know, if it was the American Tech Network, then, you know, there you go. So anyhow, Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me here every week on The Big Show. I'll be here every Thursday night to talk crap about something. And if you can't find me there, I might be teaching you about backup software somewhere in the world and wider world. My name's Ian Grant. You'll find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and that's about it. I'm getting too old for social media now. So that's my usual places. But yeah, thank you very much.
Awesome. And yes, I'm doing outros in reverse order from intros today, just to mix it up for myself. Yep. But Patrice, that still puts you right in the middle. Where can people find you?
Okay. You can usually find me every week here on The Big Show, except for next week because I'm traveling. Also Fridays on The Mac Show, also tomorrow. And everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the like projects, podcasts, like everything I'm doing, all of that is centrally linked at thepatrice.com. So head over there. If you want to buy me a coffee, that's also the place where you find it. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food and their food-related memories and stories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback, where I interview those interesting people.
Awesome. And yeah, if you're not already a Foodie Flashback subscriber, fix that. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Rich, where can people find you?
You can find me on the YouTube channel Early Morning Barking. I'll be doing live streams starting on Monday. Nice. Monday night at midnight, which I realize is far too late for British people who have jobs and lives and stuff, but that's when it's happening. So if you, I don't know what it's going to involve yet, which is, so it's going to be interesting, this first one. We'll see what happens and how it goes, but I'll be broadcasting live at midnight. Yeah.
Those are the best, and you can always watch it after the fact, right?
Exactly. That's it. It'll be up on the channel as soon as it's done as it is. And perfect. I'll put out tweets. Follow me at Barking on YouTube, on Twitter. That's where we do that.
Yeah. Also on YouTube.
Also on YouTube. Everywhere. Early morning Barking. That's it.
All right. So now I'm trying to do the time zone math in my head. I'm seven hours off from you. So
that would be 5 p.m., right?
Yeah. So I could actually very easily watch your first live stream.
That's the plan. It's based on audience analytics. I made a clever decision. 35.3% of my audience is in the United States. So there we go. If you want an earlier show, UK, you've got to get above 10.4%. What am I going to do for 10.4%? You've got to go with the big chunk.
There you
go. They're all in America. So I start at midnight. Oh, Barbados is on there as well. What time zone are they in? I just want to go there on holiday. That's all. Doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yeah. So you have big swaths of South America that are going to be up. Yeah. And
it might be a breakfast show in Australia.
Right.
That was a thing we used to get when we did Super Happy Fun Time. When we started that at midnight, we would get home from work calls from America. We'd get I've stayed up late calls from the UK, and we'd get it's breakfast from Australia. Mm-hmm. It was great.
That's awesome. Awesome. That means I'm left. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I am Jay Gamut on both, youtube.com/JayGamut for my videos, and Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, Thursdays US time in the around lunchtime here on the Big Show, and then Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, and then back again US time Friday mornings for the Mac Show, and then also on the Context Machine, because Bran Chaffin and I have teamed up again. And with that, hey, thank you to TSO Host for being our sponsor this week and every week. Give them a shout out on social media and let them know that you appreciate that TSO Host is supporting the British Tech Network. Thank you to Iman Max for being here as well to sponsor us. And be sure and mention that you're a BTN fan when you go in to get your Apple gear fixed, or to buy, or whatever it is that you need to do so that you get your discount. And then let's see. When it's safe to do so and everyone is consenting, when you're in Iman Max, give Callum a hug for me, please. And be sure and check out the photo show, because that's a great place to have fun while you're learning more about taking photos with your camera or your phone. And Patrice, do you know anything about the status of the Daily News Show? Because I do not.
Yeah, I have not heard anything about it. So no, we will have to wait for like an official announcement.
Okay, so as far as we know, it's the 31st. So today may very well have been the last day for the Daily News Show. And we'll have to get word from Ewan and find out if
from the show, our overlords
from our overlords who are operating everything behind the dark veil. Yeah, so we may still have the Daily News show. We may not. We'll maybe we'll know in time to mention that on the Mac show tomorrow. Hey, thanks to all of you for being such an amazing panel and putting a smile on my face, because we definitely need more smiles on our faces. And thanks to everyone that is here with us live. All of you rock. For those of you that tune in to watch or listen later, thanks for being part of this as well. You're absolutely awesome. And be sure and tune in tomorrow for the Mac show. And we'll see you again next week for the big show. And that will be a great one to tune in for, because Patrice won't be here to cover for me not knowing how to tell you how to get in the chat. So you're going to have to watch me try and figure it out. All right.
That will be funny.
Yes. So thanks, and everyone have an awesome weekend.